Okay, we got Shishmara. Oh, right here. Wales.
Here.
Teller.
Yeah.
Breivik.
Here.
There's no one representing Eagle, we're not concerned. Okay, we have Noam.
She's over there somewhere.
Oh, here.
Next, White Mountain.
Yeah.
Golovin.
Yeah.
Elam.
Here.
Koyup.
Here.
Shaq Tulik.
Here.
St. Michael.
Yep.
Stebbins.
Here.
I guess we're all here.
Island.
Oh, the island, excuse me. The three from the islands are all here. You,
Gamble.
Gamble, Savunga, and Jarkiski. Huh?
Find the
King Island.
Yes.
Yeah.
You guys
oh,
are
a
unilateral
treaty? No, you... Excuse me.
Here.
We got whales. We got
whales.
Diamond.
Temporary. All right. So I'm sure you people understand what we're here for. That the people in Washington, through the AFN, want to know our reaction to what we've heard so far. Whether we unanimously vote for this bill. Yeah, maybe let's vote for the bill. No, let's don't want it. Or no, we really don't want it. So, if anyone has anything to say, personal opinions, I think the time is now to express your opinion.
I don't know whether I should wait till later for this or not, but one of the other things that is going around now is that there are a couple regions which are possibly going to try to tear up the convention. One of the other things we should keep in mind is that we are part of AFN. The Bering Straits Association is part of the Alaska Federation of Natives. It has one vote on a board of 12. That we should keep in mind that we want to keep AFN as a solid unit, not breaking up because of regional jealousies or fighting between one region or another, or because one region figures it's going to get more money and more land than another, or a region figures it's getting cheated out of some land or stuff. Basic thing is that we've got this, we should support, I feel that we should support the bill as it stands, is that we should keep AFN unity, because that's what has gotten us so far now. And as time goes on, AFN is not going to break up, I hope. It will get stronger through the regions. But there are some things, you know, granted, that we don't like about it, that we would rather have both on the Senate and the House side, but the fact of the matter is that we have to live with this bill, personally. And I personally wouldn't want to take the chance of having the bill go through Congress again.
I vote for Odisha. I say yes on this support the bill.
No. How many from no?
You're
the delegate. You're the delegate.
Human three?
Two pass, yes.
Wales?
Yes.
Wales?
Brick?
Yes.
Well, at the present, the possible amendment to be made on some articles pertaining to the settlement, I vote yes for it now.
Teller?
I vote yes for that amendment.
When the convention reconvened following the noontime caucusing, Ken Bass, National Counsel for the Alaska Federation of Natives, from the office of Ramsey Clark, resumed the question and answer period. During this time, Tim Wallace came to the podium to move that the delegates vote to approve the signing of the bill by the President of the United States. Regional chairman reported on the feelings of their delegations.
I'm George Miller. I represent the Cook Inlet region, the biggest city Indian village in Alaska, Anchorage, Kenai, Tionic, Nanilchik, Iliamna, Seldovia, and the region of Cook Inlet recommends the signature of the President of the United States to sign the bill.
Are there any other
regional chairman that wish to comment?
My name is Cecil Barnes. I represent Region 11, the Chugach Native Association. And it is a recommendation of the delegation of the Chugach Native Association that the president sign the bill into law.
Are there any other regions that wish to speak, Tananaw chiefs?
The Tananaw chiefs met during the lunch hour, and the feeling of the majority of the people at the time is to wait and listen and ask more questions with regard to the bill. I believe the tendency, the feeling here, can be derived or implemented into the motion that was placed by Tim Wallace, where we can have the discussion continue with regard to the bill, because there are various questions that have yet to be answered and general policies that people are wondering about. However, we were at lunchtime of the feeling that we should still listen to other people, the questions they may have with regard to the bill. But I believe that slowly opinions are gelling with regard to the legislation.
Copper River Native Association and the villages that contiguous to Copper River still feel that we should have a little more discussions, that we would like to hear from some other regions, and also what we have before we be able to sign a president land into law.
I'll read a note from Bristol Bay. The Bristol Bay Native Association, in caucus with official delegates from all villages within, has decided not to oppose the H.R. 10367 with the stipulation that we can come back within a year to make amendments to the bill. Signed, Harvey Samuelson, Chairman, Bristol Bay Native Association.
The villages in the Bering Straits Native Association have unanimously decided at this time to accept the bill as it now stands, although there are quite a lot of things in there they don't understand and wish to be changed at a later date.
Mr. Ed Naughton, Kodiak.
The Kodiak delegation has voted unanimously to raise no objection to the president signing the bill at this time.
Mr. Joe Upickson, Arctic Slope, chairman of the Credentials Committee.
After the Credentials Committee submits their report to you, then the convention should be in order. And when the convention is in order, Arctic Slope Native Association will submit a statement.
The Credentials Committee report was read by Francis Degnan, AFN Secretary. It was decided by the committee that the same voting system used at the Fairbanks meeting several months before would again be in effect, in which votes were cast by region, with the number of votes per region determined by the size of the native population in that area.
The votes register approved is as follows. Tlingit and Haida, A and B, 104 votes. Bethel area, 114 votes. Bristol Bay, 31 votes. Kenai, 7 votes. Copper River, 17 votes. Alaska Peninsula, 8 votes. Nome, 35 votes. Unalakleet, 13 votes. Tananaw Chiefs, FNA, 65 votes. Cook Inlet Native Association, 45 votes. Aleut League, 18 votes. Arctic Slope, 22 votes. Kotzebue, NANA, 39 votes. Cordova, 7 votes. Tionic, 2 votes. Iklutna, 1 vote. Washington Chapter, 34 votes. Upper Kuskokwim, 4 votes.
Credentials report is accepted. The convention then is in order. The motion on the floor is whether to accept or to recommend the President of the United States signing of the Native Land Claims Bill into law.
John Borbridge requested that Tim Wallace, the originator of the motion, restated himself for the benefit of the delegates.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I would move that the delegates at this convention approve the president's signing the land claims bill, and I ask for a roll call vote.
The second to the motion. It's been moved and seconded. Is there any further discussion?
Objection from the Arctic Slope and Arctic Slope at this present time would like to be heard.
Mr. Edwardson, you're recognized. Mr. Joe Upickson, Arctic Slope.
Thank you, Mr. President. My name is Joe Upickson. I am the president of the Arctic Slope Native Association. I have a statement. As we pause for a few days and one chapter ends in our fight for self-identity and self-respect, and another begins, it is right and proper to take a look at the world. We from the North have led a happy life through the centuries. Yes, Western civilization sent its whaling fleets up there, 150 or so a year. Yes, our whales are gone. But the real invasion of our land was within the last 10 years. And we hear there will be perhaps 1,000 oil rigs in the north and perhaps 10,000 miles of road and feeder lines on my land. All of this means that our culture will be destroyed, that in the immediate future we will be on cash economy. We Inupiat Eskimos have never wanted money as such. We wanted land. Because out of the land we would make our money. We would protect our subsistence living, and we would still have our heritage. Make no mistakes of it. We, the Alaska Natives, are being paid this so-called settlement for just one reason. Because we have legal rights. The Congress is making this settlement for just one reason, because the oil of the North Slope is owned by the Inupiat Eskimos of the Arctic Slope. As it turns out, the pressure of the pipeline simply has required the Congress to move. You are getting paid faster, perhaps 100 years faster, because the Arctic Slope Native Association said, no. No, no! When the September 11, 1969 sale by the state was about to take place, we Inupiat Eskimos resented it because, again, people were invading our lands. We geared up for a lawsuit, but by choice, we did not sue. We wanted to know how much our land, not yours, was worth to the Western society. All thinking people must agree that the $900 million figure has captured the imagination of the world. The Congress could not afford to expose itself to the world by raping us. We were proud to have helped you also. That much cash invested by the oil companies has, of course, enormously increased the pressure on the Congress to get a settlement for us, for all of us. Just 1 year ago, the Arctic Slope Native Association met with your board of directors. We had withdrawn from your organization, and you wanted us back. And so, just 1 year ago, we, the Arctic Slope Native Association, and you, the Alaska Federation of Natives, struck a bargain. For most of the settlement, we would divide it on the land lost formula, and we rejoined you. It took you 1 month to break your promise. You got us back because the North Slope oil has the glamour, and you needed us. And then you broke your promise. The Southern Eskimos and Tlingits forgot that they would be getting paid because the Arctic Slope Native Association said no, no, no. No to the proposition we would sue for money. No to the pipeline. No to HR 3100. No to the proposition that we would sell our birthright for jobs. Another major factor offends my sense of justice on this population business, this share and share-alike business. For decades and decades now, society has made an earnest effort to help you. You have always had schools. You have salmon canneries and freezer ships and sane boats and educational loans and grants. Millions and millions of dollars have gone to your areas. Only a deaf person would not know that the amount organized society has sent us by was a comparison with you can only be called total neglect. During World War I, for example, there was a period of 10 years where some of our villages, our established villages, had no schools at all. This is a white man's world. We are supposed to compete in that world. We are not against that. But how greedy can you be that you start the race to Western culture with so many tools, education, for example, and you want to gobble us up? Let us look at what the state is getting out of the North. All tentatively approved lands and all selected lands. Now, as to the selected lands, these were selected after the freeze, and thus their selection was a direct effort to grab our lands with full knowledge of what she was doing. Not only has the Congress put its approval on this grabbing, but I did not see a single regional association step up and help the Arctic Slope Native Association. You were so busy fighting for your population proportion. We get no state selected or TA lands. We get no petroleum number 4 lands and no wildlife refuge lands. Thus, the only eligible villages we have are Anaktuvik Pass and Point Hope. These men have made sure that the lands we get have no economic value. Yes, we will get some in lieu selections, but the restrictions on where we can select are so huge, we will have to do some real scrounging to make them meaningful. As I look at the world, I see some oil companies. I am referring in particular to Humble Oil and Refining, Mobil, Atlantic Richfield, and British Petroleum. Do you know that these companies do not pay one penny in property taxes on the North Slope? What are taxes for? I will tell you. At Anaktuvik Pass, Point Hope, Koktovik, and Wainwright, there are no junior high schools. At Barrow, there is no senior high school. We probably have 1,500 school children on the North Slope. As they reach junior and senior high school age, we must send them from home to a different culture. Taxes pay for schools. In 1969, the state got $900 million from My Land. Her budget for that year was $154 million. The next year, with the sale, her budget doubled to $306 million, and this year it is $296 million. Not one additional penny was returned to us for our children or for anything. And so we have filed a petition for a borrow so that we can tax the oil companies for schools. And do you know that Humble, ARCO, British Petroleum, and Mobile have done? They have formally announced their determination to oppose our petition. We need a borrow for another reason, for the protection of our subsistence living, because the borrow would have the power of zoning. Not that we would zone out the oil companies. It is possible to be compatible. But I say to you, with the huge invasion coming in the north, there must be order. For without a sense of order up there, subsistence living will be destroyed and the discontent of our peoples the worse. I'm not through yet. I simply have to talk about the pipeline, both the 48-incher and the feeder lines, possibly 10,000 miles. If a feeder line breaks, you won't be hurt, we will be. And the risk of break magnifies by the more miles of line. As I said, we figured 10,000 miles of risk. You can obviously see that I am hurt and frightened and perhaps bitter. This hurt and fright and bitterness have been caused by the other natives demanding more than their just share, by the states being dishonorable in grabbing whatever she could, by the Congress' incompetence in not really understanding the problems and not trying to, by the oil companies stepping on us as if we were not people, by the Western society moving in on us and brushing us aside, etc., etc. What are we going to do about it? The human body is a wonderful thing. We, the Inupiat Eskimos, have been resourceful enough to live in the north. We will survive. Our real emotion now is one of sadness. It need not have been this way. But like people around the world, when there is social discontent, we must react. We must find some other way of achieving our self-identity and self-respect. The really important question, however, is, what are you going to do? You have tainted money, many of you. What is the state government going to do, the governor and the legislature, with their neglect of us? What is industry going to do? These social injustices cannot continue. Somebody must do something about them.
Mr. William Paul, Sr.
Ladies and gentlemen, I appear before you with a good deal of trepidation. I don't really belong to Alaska anymore, according to the statement of a gentleman. It was made yesterday. I belong to Seattle. But everybody that knows me knows that I belong to the Stikine country of southeastern Alaska, which is now represented in this body by the Tlingits and Haida Society. My theme right now is this. As I said long time ago, the land is ours. What are you afraid of? Now we've gone through a struggle, and it seems to be terminating at this time. And it seems to me that you are going to approve of this. But I want to tell you today that you ought not to be guided by your fear. The United States Congress admits that we have a legal right to the land. It is ours. In order to satisfy our legal rights, they are offering us the turkey buzzard. We are to get 40 million acres and $500 million, and if the land produces 400 some odd million dollars, maybe we will get some more. But by that very act, the United States acknowledges our legal right to the land. We don't have to go to Congress again with another bill if you turn it down. Our better course of action should have been in the first instance should have been an appeal to the State Court of Alaska. The United States Congress says that it is our land and offers us money to give it up. Therefore, we are standing on firm legal ground if we should reject this bill and go to the State Court where we should have gone in the first instance. And let us proceed in the State Court. Let not your actions be controlled by your fears. In our ancient times, our people went to war. They sacrificed their lives. They fought for what is theirs without fear. Today, we're cringing along as if we were today that we're going to lose something. We're not going to lose something. The land will be there. It still will be ours. And we can do anything we want with it, and we will get entirely more. Now that I've exhausted myself, I hope that some of you will vote no, even though it carries. Let the record show that we are not satisfied. Let us not have the record show that we are unanimously for this bill, especially on the theory that either we get this bill or we take nothing. Don't be afraid. I am not afraid, and I will vote no. And I hope my delegation from Seattle, now I come back to the last end of it and say that I am still from Seattle. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm taking up my residence in Sitka, Alaska next month. And I'll be back in Alaska.
Is there further discussion? Mr. Butterbridge?
Mr. Chairman and delegates to the Convention of the Alaska Federation of Natives, as I start to address you on the matter of the land claims, I think as much as anything I share with you a mixed feeling. As I look back to southeast Alaska, I was tempted, as I was privileged to share with you in shaping our future, I was tempted to think that perhaps I had come to the forefront. As I look back to our history in southeast Alaska and realize what the Tlingit and Haida Indians had done, as you in your regions have done, and as you in your history will bear out, I could appreciate that in 1869, Tlingit chiefs came together protesting the illegal sale of their country. There was no question in their minds that this was their land. When I was in Washington, D.C., I thought surely I must be in the forefront now, in 1971, only to realize that in looking at our heritage and our history, a chief, a Tlingit chief, was in Washington in 1899 fighting for the same rights that I was advocating, along with many, many others, 72 years later. As this battle moved into the courts, the Tlingit Haidas came out with the one example in the entire state of judicially affirmed Aboriginal title. This meant that we were not claiming something that did not belong to us. We as a people said, in effect, ours are not claims, they are an assertion of rights. And these rights can be confirmed and tested in a court of law, in an adversary proceeding with the best attorneys the United States government was capable of throwing into that fight. This is exactly what they did. And what was the result? The result was this, a result which had precedent for every other part of this state. It was perhaps something that we could pass on to you with pride. Because the court said in 1959, you Tlingit Haidas, you have claimed virtually every acre of land in southeast Alaska. We find as a matter of right that this land did belong to you, and that the failure of the United States government to take care of it and to protect it caused it to be lost, with certain exceptions. But these exceptions were important because we did have judicially affirmed title. And we said in every opportunity that was granted to us that what we have in the courts today, the natives of Alaska will have tomorrow. And this is exactly what you have come out with, my brothers and sisters. You have come out with a right which is recognized. How did this fight proceed in southeast Alaska? I can tell you it proceeded for many, many years before I ever came on the scene. It was funded with voluntary gifts from the pockets of people who were destitute in many instances. Where this money came from, I don't know, except it came out of a love and a conviction for the land. It didn't come from federal grants. It didn't come from a loan. It came from the heart. Because in the end, that is the only way that you can fight when all else is gone. And it is our collective heart that has brought us today to where we are. I must give credit to the Alaska Native Brotherhood, which in 1929 adopted a convention resolution, which provided for the passage of a resolution in which the Tlingit Haidas decided that, yes, in 1929 we shall pursue our land claims. We, as we have thrown in our lot with you, have always recognized with a great deal of pride that in the end, as you met with us, you decided too, as a matter of heart, that the Tlingit and Haidas should be with you. There is something far-reaching and indefinable about the brotherhood of the Alaska Native people, which I cannot begin to describe. I know that as we have moved together, we move from 7.2 million to 180 million. And those of you involved with this, remember, we were told to accept the 180 million, but we had the courage of our convictions, knowing at some time in the future, our hearts, our assessments would tell us, now is the time. And this is the time. It is a time because as I look around, when I think that the blood that flows through the Indian, Eskimo, and Aleut, and it flows into a pool, it becomes indistinguishable, one from the other. We are natives, and when one is hurt, all hurt. And it is true today that with our sense of elation, we are also hurting and suffering. We cannot deny our brotherhood. We must not at this time turn our back on one another. despite our deep and lasting hurts. The settlement is not the final measure of the benefits that shall accrue to us. It is only a tool to the future. What we make of the future is up to us. What we shall decide with honor and the fullest respect and love for one another. I can fully understand what has been said before. And as we discuss the feelings that we have and as we make our recommendations, let's do so the way an Alaska Native does, with love, with respect, and with dignity. And when this is done, there shall be no less a need for us to be unified and to have our hands clasped in one another. When the time comes, we shall cast from Southeast Alaska the vote of that region. But let us do so within the context of the feelings that we have had for one another, because those feelings shall not lessen, they shall only increase when we stand up and are counted. And when that time comes, I shall cast with pride and with respect the decision that has been made by the people from Southeast Alaska, who, when they are cut, the hurt was felt up north. Thank you.